Welcome to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, episode 68, with Sarah Kornack and Bethann Schwamberger. Today on the show, we are so pleased to welcome back Crystal Payne of MoneySavingMom.com. In this episode, we talk with Crystal about goal setting, time management, and balance. Crystal shares lots of fabulous advice that I know you will find helpful. And just so you know, we recorded this episode in December, hence all of the Christmas talk that we had at the end of the episode. I know you're really going to get a lot out of this episode, so let's get started.
You're listening to the Brilliant Business Moms Podcast, practical business advice for startup moms.
Today on the podcast, we are so excited to welcome back a guest. For the second time, we have Crystal Payne from MoneySavingMom.com back on the show with us today. And last time we had Crystal on the podcast, we learned so many great things about how she uses Facebook and Pinterest to grow her blog and how we can all do the same. But this time, Crystal is going to share with all of us about being productive and goal setting and just, you know, how she gets everything done that she gets done every week. So I'm really excited to learn from her today. So welcome to the show, Crystal.
Thank you so much for having me back.
So related to getting things done, you've written a book called Say Goodbye to Survival Mode. In your book, you talk a lot about the importance of goal setting. Why do you believe that is so powerful?
Well, one of the things that I've really seen in my own life is that if I don't have anything that I'm aiming for, then I'll just kind of go around in circles and not really get anything done. It's kind of like if you start your day off and you just put out fires all day long. At the end of the day, you're going to look back and you'll be like, I was very busy and I did a lot of stuff, but did I actually accomplish anything? And a lot of the time you'll realize I didn't, or I didn't get done what I wanted to get done. So having those written goals, whether they be for the year, for the month, for the week, or even for that day, I found that to be so helpful because then I know what my target is and I know what I'm aiming for. And so then I can take little steps, even if it's just tiny little baby steps in that direction, and so that I'm making headway and progress in the direction that I want to go.
Crystal, you actually break your goals down into different areas of your life as well. What are some of those areas that you break down your goals into?
Well, I really encourage people to think about, you know, especially when you're starting out the new year, thinking about where do you want to be in a year from now? Or if that just feels too audacious to even think about, where do you want to be in 3 months or 6 months from now? Think about that and think about, okay, what are those key areas of my life that are going to make the biggest impact if I am intentional and put effort into those? And so for me, for instance, in 2014, at the end of 2013, my husband and I did a lot of talking together and realized that I wanted to simplify my goals and I wanted to really focus on four key areas. And for me, that was my marriage, myself, and that would include, you know, physical activity, reading, bettering myself, learning, growing, that sort of thing, mothering, and Money Saving Mom, my business. And so really breaking it down into those four key areas for me helped me to prioritize and say, these are the areas that I want to put the most effort and energy into right now. There are so many other great things and good things that I could be spending my time on, but I can't do everything. And so right now at this season of life, I'm going to throw my energy and effort into those four areas. That really helped me to then say, okay, what are the key things in those areas that I want to accomplish in this year? And so then at the beginning of 2014, I wrote out 12 goals for 2014. And honestly, I did not accomplish or finish most, but just a few of those goals, which could be kind of discouraging to me. But at the same time, when I look back on the year as a whole, I realized that I invested a lot of time into my marriage, into my mothering, into myself, and into my business, and grew in each of those areas. And I could see a lot of fruit from the effort. And so even though I didn't check off everything off my goals list, it forced me and encouraged me and inspired me and motivated me to be intentional in those areas. And so I can look back and see a lot of growth. And that's really encouraging.
I think that's a great perspective too, Crystal, to, you know, look at that big picture and see what really matters the most and then focus on those areas. So with everything you've accomplished, it's clear that you're incredibly skilled at managing your time. And for the moms that are listening who are maybe just at the beginning stage of trying to wrangle a hectic schedule, maybe they've just started a blog or some sort of business, or even just have a big goal they're trying to accomplish, what are two things they could start doing right away to alleviate some of that stress?
Well, I think that sometimes one of the most important things that you need to do is you need to turn off the noise. And that is, I see so many women that they start a business, especially if it's an online business, and you start seeing all these things on Pinterest, and you're, you know, even listening to a bunch of different podcasts, and you're reading all these books, and you're seeing all these websites, and you get overwhelmed with so many things that you need to be doing. And I can feel this way too. I will get on Pinterest and I will see so many different things, and I'll think, well, I should be doing that, and I should add that little widget to my sidebar, and I should add that plugin, and oh, isn't that cool? And we can get all distracted by all these shiny things that they're not bad things, but we have to focus on the best things, especially when we're moms and we're busy with so many responsibilities as it is, we can't do it all. And so what I would encourage you, shut off the noise and only focus on those few things, you know, so only listening to those few podcasts that are going to make the biggest difference and only reading those few websites that are going to make the most impact and not feeling like you have to do it all because you can't do it all. So start with that. And then secondly, figuring out what are your two or three biggest priorities for the next 3 to 6 months. What are those things that when you say, if I do these two or three things for my business, it's going to have the biggest impact. So then define those, but then break those down into bite-sized pieces. So let's say you say, I want to build up my Facebook page. I want to have 500 Facebook followers at the end of 6 months. So that is your goal. And you say, I feel like that's going to make the biggest impact on my business right now. So then take that big goal and break it down into bite-sized pieces. So maybe one, you know, you're going to have to set up your Facebook page. You're going to post on your Facebook page. You're going to watch a few other Facebook pages to see what they're doing that's successful. So breaking it down into those bite-sized pieces and then just choosing a few pieces every single week that you're going to focus on. So for me, that's really helpful because it can be so overwhelming to see this big project that I want to do. For instance, I have a course that I'm writing for 2015, and it can be really daunting to feel like, well, there are so many pieces that have to be put in place for me to launch this course. But when I break it down into the bite-sized pieces and say, okay, I want to launch the course in spring of 2015. Okay, so right now I need to work on this piece. I need to be writing this piece of the course, and I need to be researching this and talking to this person. But I break it down into bite-sized pieces, and then I assign a day for each of those pieces. So on my Google Calendar, which is like my brain, I actually break down the pieces and I write out, you know, this day I'm going to do this piece, and this day I'm going to do this piece, and this day I'm going to do this piece. When I do that, not only does it help me because it alleviates feeling like I've got this huge project and I don't even know where to start, I have it all broken down, but then each day I just do the little piece that needs to be done. Some days I don't do any of the pieces because as I'm writing it out on my calendar, I'm realizing, oh wow, I already have 8 things going on that day. I don't have any margin for extra pieces to do. So I just skip it and I go on to the next day that has time in it. So for me, that's really helpful because then it's taking that big project and it's all of a sudden making it really doable. And then I get inspired and motivated that I can actually follow through and do this huge thing because I set the goal, but then I broke it down into bite-sized pieces and then I assigned a date and a time to those pieces so I know it's actually probably going to really get done.
Speaking of completing really big projects, I read recently on your blog that you employed a pretty original method for writing your most recent book. Could you talk about what you did to write that book and how it worked for you?
Yes, so I wouldn't necessarily recommend this method, but, you know, so much of the time people will say, well, I wish I could have a blog or I wish I could write a book, but I just don't have time. And I really believe that we have got to stop saying, I don't have time, and we need to start instead saying, I am choosing to not spend my time on that. I'm choosing to prioritize my time in a different way, because we all have 24 hours in our day. We all get the same amount of time. And so it's a matter of what we're choosing to do with that time. Now, some of us have things like small children or babies or, you know, physical limitations, or we're caring for an ailing, you know, grandparent or something like that. So we have things that it's not necessarily like we all get the exact same amount of time, because we all have different pressures and struggles and different things that we're dealing with. But at the same time, I really encourage people to realize that you are in control of your time. So when you say, I'm choosing to spend my time in a different way, or I'm choosing to prioritize differently, then it empowers you to realize, well, I could choose to say no to that thing so I could say yes to something else. So when the book deal came to me, my first book, when it came to me, it was kind of dropped in my lap, and I decided that the only way that I was going to do it would be to get up really early in the morning. And so for my first two books, that's what I did. I got up really early in the morning and hired on some extra help and just wrote in the early mornings. But the funny thing is that now that I've really been encouraging my readers to use their early mornings, my inbox and blog, there's a lot going on early in the mornings because, oh, my readers get up early now. And so I was finding that I thought, well, I'll just do the same thing with this book, and I'll just get up early and write it. Well, the problem was happening is that I have to be on the internet when I'm writing, because a lot of times I'm doing a lot of research. And so then I would get distracted because I'd be looking up something in my email, and then there'd be all these emails in there, and I'd be looking up something on my blog, and then there'd be all these comments, and it was just too distracting. So even to start at, you know, 5 in the morning, there was still a lot going on. So I talked to my husband and I said, I've got to do something, and I don't know what to do, and I really am passionate about this book and I want to write this book, but I just can't figure out when to write it, because there doesn't seem to be the margin in my day to have that focused 2 or 3 hour block of time that I need to really dig into writing. So we decided to try something a little bit outside the box, and that was that I would most nights, not every single night, but most nights for a 2 month stretch, I got up about midnight and I worked until 4 a.m. and then I would go back to sleep. Now, that would not work for a lot of families, but because my husband is self-employed and we homeschool, we worked it out so that it could work for our family schedule, so I could sleep in a little later and go to bed a little earlier, and it worked out. And I found that from 12 to 4, no one is online. And so it was perfect, because I have this completely quiet 4 hour block of time to get so much done. And I also worked on Sunday afternoons. I'm usually offline and I don't blog on Sundays. So I also did Sunday afternoons. I would usually put in a nice other 4 hour block of time as well. But it's very unconventional, and I was very tired for 3 months, but it was worth it, because this was a project that I really felt like God wanted me to do, and I was very passionate about it and very excited about it. And it was kind of that short-term sacrifice for the long-term benefit sort of mantra of, you know, for 3 months, I'm going to be tired and this is going to be hard and my family's going to have to make some sacrifices, but we all decided to do it together. And looking back, I'm so glad that I did it, and I'm so excited about the book.
We're so excited to read it, too. I have to admit, I'm pretty impatient. I can't believe we have to wait until next November.
I know. It. That's the problem with traditional publishing, is it takes a very long time. The good news is that it will probably go through about, I don't know, 15 to 25 revisions in that time frame. And so each time it'll get better. So by November, it's going to hopefully be really good.
Awesome. So, Crystal, you mentioned that you're working on a course for 2015. I am so curious. Is there anything at all that you can share about this course that you're working on?
Well, I'm happy to tell you, but just know that it's in the very early stages. And so at this point in time, I could always scrap it and decide that I'm not going to do it in 2015. But the course is going to be called something like Makeover Your Mornings, and it's about really encouraging moms and women with very practical and inspiring things that they can do to make the most of their morning. So it's not necessarily about getting up early, although we'll cover that in the course, but it's just really about inspiring people to make the habit of using your mornings well, because I feel like if you start your first hour or two of each day you start it well, then it sets the tone for your whole entire day, and it makes such a difference over your whole entire day. So that is the concept, and I'm still working out. I want to live the principles in my own life, because I kind of feel like with the book, it kind of wrecked my mornings, and I know now I'm seeing the real need for making over my mornings. And so the goal is that I'm going to live the principles out in my own life over the next 3 months and make sure that they actually do work. And then we're going to write and record the course. So I'm really excited about it.
I love that. I think that's a great idea too, to really test drive all of those ideas, and then you can share that personal experience with everyone. So that's great.
A lot of our listeners have asked us questions about balance. And I know some people say there's no such thing as balance, which kind of is true, I guess. But, you know, making those decisions day to day about family and business, and trying to make sure that our lives are not too lopsided with one or the other. How do you handle that in your own life? I'm sure your business could suck up 18 hours of your day if you let it. So how do you juggle that?
That's a great question. I think one of the important things for me has been to have really good truth tellers around me. I've become such a believer in having wise mentors and truth tellers, people who are not only going to celebrate the great things going on in your life, but are going to help you to get back on track when you start veering off. And maybe that's that you're getting sucked into spending too much time online or building your business, or you're getting too money focused, or you're getting a big head, or whatever it is. Having those people who are going to help you have your priorities in place and not get way off track. So for me, that is my husband, as well as my two managers, who are very, very involved in my life. And we talk about everything, and they know my goals, they know my struggles, and really where I want to be long term. And so having these people around me who are keeping me accountable to those things that I've committed to, and that is that I need to have a healthy balance in my life, that I need to have margin, that I have to practice what I preach. And so if I'm telling people that you need to have breathing room and margin in your life, and you need to take time to rest, that I also need to do that as well in my own life. So having that has been really helpful. But I think one of the big things for me has been to realize that there is no such thing as a perfect balance. But what balance is constantly making little tweaks to stay in a healthy place. And so the best way that I can describe this is, I've read books on tightrope walkers, and one of the things that they say is the way that they stay on their tightrope is actually by constant movement. So they're constantly moving just a tiny little bit to stay in balance. And then if they were to stand completely still, they would fall off the tightrope. So that was really helpful to me, to realize that it's okay that we're constantly making little tweaks and adjustments as we go, and realizing that nothing is going to stay exactly the same. And so maybe you have a great schedule that's working for you, but then something's going to happen. You know, something's going to change for me, it's usually my children. Like you have, and when they were little, you'd have this really good sleep schedule going on, and then somebody would go through a growth spurt, or something would go on, or somebody would get sick, and then it would all get whacked out. And so realizing that you have to make those constant adjustments, and that's okay. And like with my book, you know, saying for this 3-month period, we're going to completely change our schedule for this long-term goal. But that's a season. That's not a lifestyle. We could not keep up that very strenuous way of living for a long term, or it would just completely burn me out. And so, for instance, now that I've finished my book, I just turned it in last week, December for me is going to be a completely quiet month. And I've intentionally just no travel, stay home, no projects, you know, very minimal amount of work, and just really just enjoy my family and watch movies and read books and sleep more, just to kind of recover from that 3-month period. And so for me, it's about not always doing the exact same thing every single day and having this perfectly imbalanced life, but to have the people who are helping you to make those constant tweaks and adjustments, and maybe a time period where you're going to just you know, step back and really focus on one area, whether it's your marriage or whether it's your kids or whether it's sometimes it'll be part of your business because, you know, your website goes down and you need to focus on that, whatever it is, you know, but being okay with realizing that as long as over the course of a year, you've spent a lot of intentional, good quality time investing in those few things that are most important, then to me, that is what a healthy balance looks like.
I think that's an excellent point, Crystal, and I've definitely seen that to hold true in my own life as well, that, you know, some weeks are a little bit busier, and I feel like maybe my son Holden used the iPad a little too often, or, you know, we didn't do as many fun crafts or, you know, a few of the fun playtime activities I wanted to do, but then the next week I kind of say, okay, you know, other things are calmer, and now we have a little bit more of that intentional time, so that's a great point, and you're right, it does. It helps because then you don't feel quite so bad if you have one week where the focus is a bit more on one thing because you know you're going to tweak it and get that balance.
Yeah, that's really helped me. And I think that there can be a lot of guilt that comes with if you're a working mom, even a work-at-home mom, there can be guilt that you can feel like, well, you know, I'm letting my child watch a movie while I'm finishing up this project. And just realizing, making sure that if you only want your child to have 30 minutes of electronic time a day, that, you know, occasionally maybe it's going to be longer than that. But as long as that's not a lifestyle, that they're spending 4 hours on electronics a day or whatever it is, it's, you know, the bad habit that, or the thing that you can kind of go to when things are a little out of whack, that as long as that's an exception to the rule and not the lifestyle, then, you know, it's totally okay. And you've got to give yourself grace and know that this is part of running a business. There are just going to be times when it's going to be stressful and hectic and something's going to break, something's not going to work, there's going to be an emergency or, you know, whatever. That's part of it. But then also there's going to be times where you need to, you know, just kind of shut it down and turn it off and really just focus on your family. And that's the beauty of owning your own business, is that you can make those decisions.
So as we wrap up this, once again, really fun, wonderful interview, could you tell us a little bit about those family things that you have been able to do this December now that you're taking a little bit of a break from a lot of business?
Yes, well, great question. One of the things that our family always likes to do every December is we like to create a Christmas bucket list, is what we call, and it's just where everybody gets to choose one or two things they really want to do in December, and then we put it on the calendar. And because my book was due December 1st, and then we had out-of-town guests all last week, and then we got sick, which I'm sure was due to the kind of crazy schedule we've kept for 3 months, but all of a sudden, I was realizing this weekend, oh, wow, we haven't made our Christmas bucket list. But then I was looking at our calendar and realizing, well, we sort of just kind of did it without even sitting down and being intentional about it. And so one of the things that we did this year is we decided that we were going to introduce our kids to all of the kind of well-loved, well-known Christmas movies. And so we are just a few times a week, we're sitting down as a family and watching a Christmas movie, kind of, you know, the old ones, like It's a Wonderful Life. And some of them they've seen before, but some of them I haven't even seen before. And so my husband made a list of all the Christmas movies that he wanted to watch as a family. So that's one thing that we're doing. And then we are doing a couple of concerts, an ice skating concert that's like a Frozen on ice skating concert for, or I don't know what they call it, whatever. It's not a concert, I guess, but something like this Frozen on ice thing that my daughter, who is an ice skater, she loves all the ice skating things, but we're going to go as a family. And then we're doing, Ann Voskamp is doing a Christmas tour, and she's coming to Nashville. And so we're going to go to that together as a family. But as far as December, one of the things that we have been very intentional about for the last, almost since our whole marriage, is we keep Christmas really, really simple. And we keep December really, really simple. And I know that for a lot of families, it's a very hectic, overwhelming, busy month. But we actually have purposely decided that we want it to be a very quiet, simple month. And so we don't do a lot of the different things that a lot of people feel like you're supposed to do or have to do. And we haven't even put up a Christmas tree yet. I'm waiting to see if my children ask about it. And if they don't, then I told my husband, well, we'll just wait. And if they don't ask about it, then I guess we won't put it up because nobody said anything about it. And so some years we do lots of lights and lots of decorations, and some years we don't do hardly anything. And so just kind of every year we like to keep it different, but very, very simple and just really family oriented, and just spending lots and lots of time together doing fun things as a family. We'll go out and look at the Christmas lights together and just, you know, eat special foods and do special things. But I keep it really low key and really guilt free as far as not feeling like me personally that I have to, it has to be this big entertainment, all this busyness, but just really simple. And because I feel like, what are my kids going to remember most when they grow older? They're going to remember the time that we spent together as a family, not that we did all these 50 things in December, but these few things that were important to them. We did that in December. And, you know, they just talk with such fond memories of our December and the things that we do. And it's just, I just love that they're okay with keeping it simple. And it's just, it's a month that we look forward to every year.
I love that. And I have to say too, Sarah, I don't know if this is one of your biggest Christmas memories growing up, but you're right, Crystal, that time with family is, you know, that's what you remember. And I think the most vivid Christmas memory for me has always been that on Christmas Eve, we would sit around as a family after, you know, after we got home from the church service, and our dad would read the Christmas story from the book of Luke in the Bible. And we had a little nativity set, and we would take the little pieces and kind of act out the story as our dad read it. And I feel like we did this well past, you know, when little kids.
Yeah, we were in high school doing
that. We were still taking the little pieces and doing this because, you know, it was that sweet family tradition and, you know, something that's so simple, but you're right. That's what you remember.
Yes. Well, and we try to always do like some different Advent thing every year. And so this year we're doing Ann Voss Camp's The Greatest Christmas, I think is what it's called, and it's the Advent book for children. And my kids are really loving it, and I'm really loving it. And then we're also doing, my mom puts together what is called, we call it a blessing box, and it's that every single day from December 1st to December 25th, they get a little present that they get to open up and read. It's something to do with Christ coming, so it'll be like some... Like today it was a candle and it was talking about how God is light. And so it'll have a few verses and something. And so just Silas, he is my 5-year-old, and he's doing it this year that he gets to open up the gift and read it together. It's just, it's very simple, and she puts it all together. She's wonderful at that. But it's just some, you know, these little things that I feel like that's what they talk about, and that's what they remember more than we were rushing around and did all these, you know, all this. I don't know. I just like to encourage moms that it's okay to keep it simple. And if you don't want to send out cards or you don't want to put up a Christmas tree or whatever, do what's important to your family and to your kids. And don't worry about whether it's the quote unquote right thing or whether it's, you know, you're not being a bad mom if you're focusing on what is most important to your family.
Well, I'm curious, what is the favorite Christmas movie over there in the Payne household? We always had like a debate. We'd force my brother to watch White Christmas every year, and he hated it.
Well, we're still trying to figure out this year because we are watching a lot of new ones. And so I'm not sure at this moment, but I will know probably in about 2 more weeks. I will know exactly what it is, but they're still trying to decide. And what we watched The Miracle on 34th Street last night, and we were all kind of like, oh, that was interesting. I've never seen that before. That was okay, yeah. So that will not be the favorite one.
Did you watch the old version or the new version?
It was the old version, yes.
Okay. I kind of like the old version. I don't know, but it is lengthy. It's very lengthy. The old movies, my kids, I don't think could, I know for sure that one, they wouldn't make it through. So even if your kids made it through that, I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, it was just like one of those, you know, you've heard about for so long, and we finally were like, we're going to watch it. We're going to watch this movie we've heard. And it was like, oh, okay, that was interesting.
Well, as long as White Christmas is on your list, then I'm okay with that.
Yes, it is definitely on the list.
Except Sarah, see, look, you're giving Crystal a list of what she should do. at Christmas. This is, no.
Well, just fast forward through that weird dancing thing. What was that, the Danny Kaye one?
Where choreography.
Choreography.
Yes, the song is called Choreography. It's different.
My husband's family, they always watch White Christmas, like, every single year. And so he was mortified whenever we got married. And I'm like, I've never seen White Christmas before. And he was like, what? Like, how could you, like, have a childhood without White Christmas?
I mean, that proves the point that just because one family does something and another family does something else doesn't mean that either family is choosing the wrong things to do.
Yes.
They're just choosing their own special memories to make. So
that's right. And I had a great growing up and lots of wonderful Christmas memories without White Christmas. But we are going to watch it this year as a family, and I'll have to let you know whether it becomes the number one Christmas movie or not.
Well, at least you get to hear Bing Crosby
sing,
and that's always pleasurable. So, well, thank you so much for talking with us again. I know we learned some great things about time management and prioritizing, which will be very helpful to all of us. So thank you so much.
Thanks so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
And as always, for everyone listening, you can check out Crystal's website at moneysavingmom.com.
I really thought our talk with Crystal was so much fun and yet so informative. She really has a fantastic perspective on productivity and goal setting, time management, and finding that balance that works for her and her family. If you're looking for the show notes, head on over to brilliantbusinessmoms.com/68. Thank you so much for joining us today. Now it's your turn to head out there and be brilliant.